Praise the Lord. Really blessed by the singing this morning. Encouraged to look to the Lord for what He has done, is the great deliverance that He's brought to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Lord, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help us to be faithful to You, Lord, that Your kingdom would be here, Father, living in us. God, we ask that You would bless Your words this morning, fill us with Your Spirit, give us wisdom, Father, as we obey You and do Your will. Father, help us to see clearly the kingdom of God. Pursue it. Lead us not to temptations, but deliver us from the evil one, Father. Lord, in Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Bring greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 2. I want to begin just a little bit in verse 1. Verse 16. I'm going to read quite a little bit through here this morning. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not ashamed of the power of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto our salvation. Truly, it is not. Our deliverance and our salvation is not of ourselves. God has provided His Son to deliver us and set us free from this world. The choice, however, is fully within ourselves. We shouldn't be ashamed of the power of God to deliver us from this world. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This righteousness that the power of God has brought us into by our choice has brought us there by faith, from faith to faith. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. God's power is revealed in us. The power of the gospel is revealed through faith, from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. We had a little discussion this week. Someone wanted us to define one of our positions. They wanted just to nail down our position on what we would do in this certain situation. And we just told them, we don't know for sure. We are not trying to nail down what we would do in every situation. The faith that we have is a living faith. And we trust that if we're faithful 10 years from now, we'll still have the same ability to live by faith and walk with God and make decisions by faith with God's wisdom 10 years from now, just like we would today. The faith is alive. It's not something you write down or trust something that's been handed down to you from someone else. Our faith is a living faith, and we walk in it day by day. We don't put our confidence in, well, maybe I won't have wisdom 2 years from now, so I better write it all down and get it all figured out so that when I come to a situation 2 years from now, I'll know what to do. That is not faith. Faith is not looking back into what someone else has delivered us and given to us. Faith is now. The Bible talks about now faith. Faith is something that happens now. And when we're 10 years from now, it will be now then. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about where you're going to be 10 years from now. Your hands are full with today. That's all there is to it. Live by faith. You don't have to figure out what's going to happen by then. If you walk by faith now and you take step by step, each step that you're going to take now, as you walk by faith, you'll be prepared 10 years from now to make the right decisions that you're supposed to be making. But if you falter now and you have to start figuring out what you're going to do 10 years from now, 10 years from now, you won't even recognize what you wrote down because you'll be on a completely different path. That's why our faith is now. And if we don't have it now, you won't have it then if you don't repent and pick it up somewhere along the way. The faith is passed from faith to faith, not tradition to tradition. Not what they did, not what they're going to do. It's what you're doing now. Right now is the only moment that you have. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never be yours. Today is the day of salvation. Faith begins right here and right now, or it won't begin at all. Today is the day you have to choose. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed to walk in that faith. For there is the righteousness of God. It's God's presence. It's God's kingdom in this world right now. Thine is the glory and thine is the power right now. And if it isn't being manifest in our life right now, it isn't there. It's maybe, hopefully, in someone else. But if we don't have it right now, it's not there. A man tried to tell us about a book last night. Said the title of the book will explain itself. It said, Sin Boldly. I think, well, Ryan, what? Sin Bravely. Sin Bravely. I think Martin Luther said one time, Sin Boldly to one of his people. That's the kind of gospel. I don't even call it, that's a kind of garbage that is produced. And that's it's producing that very garbage where people on the streets can be whatever they want to be and still know that God loves them. That is garbage, not gospel. Sin bravely. That is the heart and the root of this salvation where Jesus did it all and you don't even have anything to do with it. Sin bravely is a mockery to Christ. Christ, they say, because we believe that we have to act and we have choices and we have to do And we have to act on the power that God has available. They say that we're trying to work and we're trying to take away from Christ because we act upon what He's given us. And so we're somehow despising Christ or taking His glory away from Him because we have something to do with our salvation. That is absolutely absurd. That misses the whole thing. The salvation that Christ has wrought is real. And it's manifested by people who put it into practice. That brings glory to God. That brings Christ's sacrifice to something that means something instead of garbage. If I offered you something and you just said, "Oh, I'm not going to use it because I might take something away from you," you'd be despising what I gave you. Some people are given a great heritage, maybe, and some people are given a great, a glorious past. And they're taught things from their youth, and they are given these things. And that to take those and despise them to where they mean nothing and say, "Oh, I can't do anything. I would take away from my heritage if I act on my own. I'd be taken away from what's been handed down to me if I act on my own." You're despising your heritage. You're spitting in the faces of those who died and those who were martyred ahead of you. You're a mockery to them. It's not real. It's fake. And they would despise you just worse than the ones who killed them. Our faith is real. And it is evidenced by what happens in our life. It is evidence of how we take this precious faith and put it into practice. It's evidence of how we take this glorious salvation and this glorious Savior, and we believe what He said, and we trust in it, and we take it to the world and show them what He's done for us. We go into the wicked world that has all their own ideas and all their imaginations and say, "That doesn't impress me at all. I've found something much higher and much greater than this. I've found something worth dying for. I've lost my life. You can kill me, but you can't kill me because I'm already dead. You can say whatever you want to me and it does not matter. Because I have found something much greater. You can offer all your lust. You can offer everything that you have. And I don't want it. I don't want your stinking drugs. And I don't want your drunkenness. I don't want your tobacco. I don't want your finery. We don't need it. We've found something much more precious. A pearl of great price." People say, "Well, your opinion is just this or it's just that." Your opinion, we've all got our opinions. Why do you have to bring yours to us? Well, I'll tell you why we bring ours to yours. Because we've seen through yours. It's not about just because it's all been written down just right. It's because we bring it to you by faith. And by faith, I don't need that garbage you're offering. By faith, I don't have to go and cry every night over what I've done, thinking that I'm making myself happy. Well, God gives us the right to be happy. He wants us to be happy. You seek to be happy and you'll never find it. It's elusive. You'll chase your tail for the rest of your life and in eternity know that you missed it. Seeking your own happiness. Jesus said, when you lay down your life, you'll find it. When you lose your life, you'll find it. You lay down your pursuit for happiness and what you want in this life, and you'll find just what you gave up on. There's the That's the only way. And it's done by faith. You believe God and trust in Him and put your faith in what He's given, the glorious gospel of Christ. The glorious power of God unto salvation. Where is power unto salvation if I don't have to do one thing about it? Where is there any power shown in that? If you've got the biggest, fastest truck, or the biggest, fastest car, and the biggest, fastest motorcycle, and you just sit on it and you never start the engine, you're not bringing any glory to its power. God's power has got to be driven and ridden and pushed. And it'll just manifest itself. There's no end to the throttle of God's power. There is no end to it. He is eternal in the heavens. He is forever. And there's no end to what He has to offer for us. And it's sitting right there and trampled on by the majority of people, saying, oh, His power is just, He goes blind and He can't see how I live and He's so merciful and He's so kind. That's a mockery to God. That's trampling the very blood of Christ. Trampling it right under your feet, saying it doesn't mean nothing to me. There's no power in it. There's no glory in it. There's no power in a gospel like that. There's no glorious deliverance of anything. There's no pursuing into the kingdom of God in that. It's dead. It's worse than dead. It's rotten and decaying. It's worthless. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness in men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What do you need to know to understand that? To say that I have the truth and I have this gospel and God is not going to judge my unrighteousness or my wickedness. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Read the Bible. Look what God did to His people that said they had the truth and lived unrighteously and ungodly. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God manifesting Himself in us. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. We'll turn to Romans chapter 2 now. Verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another man, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and penitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Every one of us will receive according to our deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. The Jews had a heritage of following Christ, or following the Bible. They were given the promises of God. They had the heritage of those who had gone before them, that had been faithful. They built idols and worshipped them. They despised the faith that was given to them. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Every man will be recorded. Every man will receive from the deeds that he's done. Every man. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. There is no respect of persons with God. You're going to get just what you do. You're going to reap just what you sow. If you live for the kingdom of this world, you're going to reap the judgment of the kingdom of this world. If you live for the kingdom of Christ, you're going to reap from the kingdom of Christ. Not because you're special, or not because you're someone different or someone better, but because you were faithful. Whenever we look out and see how bad people live and how people mock, when we look out and we hear this gospel being perverted and this message that's just so twisted around, we can see what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 1. He gave them up to their own lust. He gave them up to their own delusions. Thessalonians says he gave them up to believe a lie. You are not one bit better than the worst person that we saw last night. I am not one bit better than the person I saw last night. In fact, I saw a lot of myself last night on the streets. I saw a lot of myself there. And I think sometimes, why? Why? How? Lord, how? Was I allowed to see that I needed to change? How? Were you merciful to me? How could you allow me to see through that? I was just as bad as anybody out there. Just as capable of doing anything that I saw done last night. There's nothing special about me. All I've done is made a choice to believe the glorious power of the gospel of Christ. I can't look down my nose and judge those people. I can't judge the man that writes that book. Because I could be writing the same book. I could be saying the same things. But I'm going to believe by faith that the power of God is greater than that. I'm going to believe that the glorious gospel of Christ is greater than that. And I want to walk by faith every day. Because when I stop, that's whenever our minds change and God turns us over to a reprobate mind, to where we don't even know right from wrong anymore. The way people live, they say, oh, God created me this way. God made me this way. You know, I think He did. But not from the beginning. God wants every one of us to yield ourselves to His kingdom. But if you follow Satan and his ways, you will come to a place where God turns you over to do whatever you thought you could never do. And you'll think God's blessing you doing it. I've seen it happen. We can't look down at anyone else because we're just one breath away from God saying, okay, there you go. I'm done. We cannot allow pride to get a hold of us. Because we are privileged enough with this glorious gospel for God to have shined His light in our hearts and given us the opportunity to walk in His way. What you're doing, the way you're living, you may be doing everything that you know to do it perfectly. But don't take no pride in that. In Luke, Jesus talked about a servant. And after he had worked all day long out in the field, he came in. Jesus said, do you think he ought to have said, okay, feed me now? He said, no, serve me first. Serve me first. Because all he is doing is just what he's required to do. He didn't do no great thing by working out in the field. That's what he was paid to do. He didn't do no great thing even after he had worked all day and came in and his master said, before you eat, feed me. That is no great thing. That's what he's supposed to do. And you, dressing modestly, wearing a covering, not seeking after wealth, living with pure marriages, not resisting evil, there's not one bit of any of that that you should be proud of. That is naturally what you are supposed to be doing. That is just what you're supposed to be doing. A bare minimum of just the way human beings were created to live. So don't get all puffed up because you wear a long covering. Don't get all puffed up because you turn the other cheek once. Don't get all puffed up because you don't lie or steal or cheat or do anything like that, like those other people do. It's just what's required of you. That's all there is to it. Don't get all puffed up because you don't eat this, or you don't drink that, or you don't drive that way, or you don't do any of that. There should be no pride in you for doing what is right. And if you're looking down your nose at somebody because they're not doing what you think is right, God, remember Proverbs, it says, God hates a proud look. God hates a proud look. Pride goeth before a fall. Where are you going to fall? You're going to fall right into the clutches of Satan. You might do that in religion. You might just get super religious. But it's still a fall. You might not wind up doing drugs. You might not wind up being a sexual pervert. You may just wind up sitting on a church bench, looking down your nose at somebody else. It takes faith to humbly walk before God. It takes faith to humbly hear the voice of Jesus and obey it. You may wind up being a theological scholar. That didn't take any faith. Any pinhead who goes to school for 14 years can be a Bible scholar. Got that all around us. Everybody wants to be a teacher. God's looking for hearers, not teachers. Everybody wants to teach you. Everybody that comes up on the street, it don't matter whether they're 12 years old or 80, they come up and want to teach you a little something. Maybe they can. Maybe they can. But there's very few people who have ears to hear and are humble enough to listen. That's the kind of people God is looking for. Someone who's humble and walks before their God. That has faith to humble themselves and not have to be the one telling everybody just what for. Not have to be the one that got all the answers. Humble ourselves. I've learned a lot of things from a lot of people you'd never even believe. I've learned people from drunks. I've learned things from drunks. I've learned things from drug addicts. God can use anybody to speak. We got to listen. Seek after what's right. Don't get proud because you found it. Pursue the truth humbly and walk with God. The faith can only be passed by faith to someone else whenever we're walking in it. Not because we've settled in it. Not because we're sitting in it. It's because we're walking in it. It's people all over the country writing books about faith, trying to explain the different doctrines. They don't have a clue other than just dead text to come up with any conclusions. Our faith is alive. It's not just in a dead text. It agrees with it because it's alive. And unless we're alive, we can't understand the aliveness of it, the life that's in it, the life that's in Christ. And you can't explain that to someone that's dead. It's just like offering a hot dog to a dead dog. He can't even smell it, let alone try to eat it. Our faith is alive. And it's got to stay that way, or it's dead. Don't be ashamed of the glorious power of the gospel of Christ. Don't get proud walking in it. It's just the very basics of what's required of you. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Help us to be faithful to You. Lord, help us to manifest Your kingdom right now, Lord. And walk by faith, Father, and keep walking. We commit ourselves, our lives to You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
And that we're simply our goal is to strive to be what we were supposed to be in the creation, just simply what would be normal, which is an unprofitable service. That's it. And that our whole focus is not to be on the salvation, but it's to be on the work, and simply the work of the Master. And with that thought in mind, echoing my background, that Jesus said, no man is good, and that I'm an unprofitable servant. And that is what I explained to this guy. That's where we have to be. And if you're certainly where he was, trying to justify his brother who wanted to be a Christian and in this monogamous homosexual relationship, he was completely wrong, just so far off, because his heart wasn't even at all about the service of the Lord. It was all about him and trying to justify how he might be good and trying to explain to God why he should be acceptable. But for us, when we have these battles, if we can just, because there's got to be a battle, and there's nothing wrong with going to the Master, I don't think he's saying, thank you for allowing me to be your unprofitable servant. I'm so glad that you've let me be your unprofitable servant. And just guide me and tell me whatever I need to do, wherever I need to change. I'm willing, and I just beg your mercy. I just beg your mercy. And I think that's just a good place for us to try to be, because there's always these battles of, man, I'm not like I was when I was fornicating or, you know, getting drunk or whatever, but that just is where we're supposed to be, and our heart is supposed to be that way. And if you can just keep that, having that echo in your mind, that's what I've done, but it's helped me. And it does help, because we do still stumble. And when those happen, that's a bigger echo in your mind. How we just have an unprofitable servant to serve the Lord.
Appreciated the warning. And this week I was thinking about that scripture. My brethren, do not many masters, you know, we shall be the greater among the nations. We're walking in the light, and we're called to tell other people about it, and urge them to repent. But it's risky to be a preacher.
Amen. Amen.
This is always interesting. Like last night when we were talking to people, how Jesus just said the simple words of Jesus. When Jesus said that if you hear my words and do them, then you're building your house on a rock. If you hear my words and you don't do what I say, then you're building your house on sand. And it's just so amazing how you can just say that. Something so clear from Jesus as to what is Christianity. And then it just goes right over their head. And just right around them. And they'll just, like, Jesus didn't ever say that. And they get lost in all this complicated, this mess of religion, when it's just so simple. And, anyway, this is amazing. Again, last night, just the challenge of trying to get people out of the religious system that they've just been held down in, to just look at what Jesus said and devote your life to that.
Amen.
And, no blessing.
Thank the Lord.
I'll just say amen to the message too. I've never thought about it before, the parallel you drew there between people that say, you know, Jesus did it all, this is their salvation, Jesus just did it all, we can't do anything, we're despising him if we try to do something. And people that take their heritage that they've got and say, we can't do anything, we don't do anything, lest we despise our ancestors. And we're despising them by bring my Bible along. I think there are, if I didn't, but I couldn't find them. Somewhere you warned us a lot about is looking down at other people, and I think we need to hear that because we need to believe in living a holy life. But somewhere in one of the prophets, I believe it's Isaiah, I'm not sure, but one of the prophets, God says about those people who say to other people, you know, stand off here, I'm worried. Those people are like smoke in his nostrils all day long. And we can just kind of think how we get close to smoke for a little bit, soon we're confident, you know, doing everything we can to get out of smoke. And that kind of attitude is like smoke all day long.
The thing about it is pride.
Where's the answer?
Okay. Pride is so subtle that it always, often, goes exactly opposite of what we think. To say, oh no, I'm a humble sinner, is so proud. And to say, oh, I can't do anything, is so proud. To be so bashful and shy, I just don't want to speak, I don't want to be proud. That is so proud. You're proud that you're going to make a mistake. And you don't want anybody to hear you. So you just sit back and be quiet. I don't have anything to say. To be honest is what we're called to be. To say, oh, I'm just a poor sinner. It just smacks with pride. But to say, I'm following Christ. And the Bible says that those who follow Christ are saints. Just being honest. People can't stand that. It blows their mind just to be faith in action. They can't understand it. They don't understand a thing about it. And they just go over the deep end whenever we have an answer that is true and an answer by faith. And there's nothing wrong with just being honest. Shall I be a liar like you? Jesus said. To lie to someone is worse than when not. Just be honest. If they take it wrong, they missed it.
Last night, that man I was talking to, he said, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. I mean, right? You say you're a sinner, and I said, well, no. I mean, I'm a saint. I don't. And he said, what way is that? Oh, you're telling me that you never sin? And I said, well, no, I'm not saying that either. But I'm not practicing sin. I mean, it was an opportunity to take him way further and the reality of what it is to be a follower of Christ, and that he could see, through that whole conversation, he got the gospel more than he ever had heard, and there was a differentiation between what he was accepting, because he went to Liberty University out in Virginia, but he was completely against that, so it was kind of liberal, but he had never really even had this concept of simply doing what Jesus said, and not presuming upon God that we were going to be in heaven, but at the same time that we were righteous and walking in holiness, and that we had the ability to. But if I had just said, well, I'm a sinner, you know, it wouldn't have opened up the door. But if I had also said, well, yeah, I'm a saint, so you never sin. Well, I mean, I was on there too, but there was major confusion in his mind, but it ended up, by the time we got done with that conversation, he several times said, thanks so much for this. I mean, it still didn't resolve his ultimate issue of justifying his brother, but it sure pushed him on towards the reality of Christ and the kingdom, at least a clearer view of what the reality is versus where he's at. And I think we just got to be able to call a spade a spade.
Amen.
I think pride, the focal point of pride itself, and pride is, like you said, illusion, it's also a deception. You get the wrong concept. We're obviously at the point, whatever we're being proud about, we're just seeking it. And so, and it's about us, not about truth. So if our focus is on truth, it will be on God.
Amen.
If it's on us, we're setting ourselves up to be deceived by ourselves or someone else.
Amen.
And that's just, even in the good things, I mean, that's not just me. That's for, like you said, we have a danger of once, kind of like you said, the fountain of pearls, the great prize. Well, people define pearls instead of just being thankful to their creator for this beautiful pearl, they put them around their legs and neck and wear them. And show everybody their beautiful pearl. So proud about how they make them look. Instead of all thankful for the fountain that God gave.
So
1:56.